Well, I want to preach to you for a little while. I was listening to the scriptures the other day, walking around some, and I got reading through or listening through Philippians. And as I was listening through there, the Lord just arrested my attention. I was walking up down our street, and I had to go back later and actually put my eyes on the page. It wasn't good enough just to listen to it. I had to get down where I could look at it. And the Lord just seemed to work and work and work in my life until I got here till this morning. And so I want to share that with you. I want to preach for a little while about why am I here, because I seem to be given that by the Lord through this passage. So I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1, while you find your place there in Philippians chapter 1. I did hear this story some years ago about Billy Graham, back when he was still alive. He was returning home after a preaching engagement, and he got his plane there in Charlotte, and he was getting ready to get in this big long limousine, was picking him up there at the airport, and he wanted to have a little fun. He said, I'm 87 years old. I've never driven a limousine. So he talked to the chauffeur, and he said, why don't you let me drive and you ride in the back? And the chauffeur said, well, whatever you want, your car, I'll do whatever. And so, but he got having fun driving down the road there, the parkway, and got going a little too fast, got pulled over by a North Carolina state trooper, pulled him over, went up to the front, and he said, you know who you are? And Billy Graham said, I know who I am. He said, I know who you are too. He said, what are you doing driving? And he said, well, just, and so he said, I'll be right back. And so he went back to his police car behind there, and he called into his superior, and he says, I think I've stopped a very important person. He said, what do you mean? He said, I think a very, very important person. He said, was it one of our mayors or something? No, more important than that. He says, our governor comes. He said, no, it's not that. He said, I mean, the president wouldn't have a motorcade coming through. I know we would have heard about that. He says, no, I think maybe it's more important than that. He said, how could you be more important than that? And how do you know he's famous? He said, well, I think it may be Jesus, because he's got Billy Graham as a chauffeur. So that didn't happen anyways, but... Well, I want you to look at Philippians chapter 1. As I mentioned, I was walking and listening to Scripture, and then I had to go read it and lay my eyes on the page and started thinking about what the Lord would have us this morning. I know it's for this morning, but it seemed like that's the way He led. And I was thinking about this, that I believe I talk to a lot of Christians who are miserable. Not that they're miserable people. I'm not linking them as miserable. That's a miserable person. I'm not saying that. I talk to a lot of Christians who they would proclaim themselves, I'm just miserable. And if God would let me, I'd like to put my finger on what I believe is one of the reasons why we have so many Christians who would label their life as miserable. I'm just miserable. I'm just not feel fulfilled. I'm just miserable. And so I want to preach to you for a little bit about that, if God would help me, and look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. We'll see a familiar passage of Scripture, and I want to look at about the next four verses as we preach this morning. For to me, the Bible says in verse 21 of Philippians 1, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I mean, I know not. I don't know. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ, in Jesus Christ, for me by my coming to you again. I again want to ask you that question, or tell you the title, why am I here? I'm reminded of a story that somebody, this preacher was going, new pastor in town, was going to this rest home, and he wanted to preach to the residents there. And as he was preaching, he wanted to be very stoic and he wanted to be very thoughtful. And he asked the question, why am I here? And he wanted to impress upon them about this sovereign God that we serve and how God has a way of moving us around. He's asked again, why am I here? He was trying to get a response from them, a wow. And finally, about the third time he asked that, one of those residents wheeled up in her wheelchair and she pulled on his coattail and she said, listen, when I can't remember why I'm here, I just go ask one of the nurses up there. They always tell me why I'm here. Why am I here? I see the great apostle Paul, he's speaking of this struggle that he was having. And if he was having this struggle because he had a desire, the Bible says, I desire to depart, be with Christ, which is far better. I want to put my finger on that need that in our hour. It's going to be more in point number 3, but I got to get through 1 and 2 to get there. But I hope that you'll stick with me, because I really do believe this is our need that we have as Christian people. I want you to see, first of all, though, in verse number 21, the evaluation. The evaluation of location, if you want to. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, if I could have what I want, it's Christ, but to die. And when he was going to die, he was going to go to heaven. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, for I am crucified with Christ. The apostle said again in that spot, as if I went to the crucified with him and then rose again, because all of that was for me. I'm crucified with Christ. And now I've given my life. I'm crucified in my living. But in this verse, we see that Paul has gotten to a point in his life where to live was just to be a little bit more like Jesus. Meaning that if God gives me another day to live, I want to be a little bit more like him then than I am now. And the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, meaning that everything I do is consumed in Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish I could say that with him. I'm afraid I have too much foolishness in me. I have too many desires to do this. And maybe I look too much on the things of retirement and too much on the things of doing something about a house and a building and a this and a that. Oh, I wish I could say like the Apostle Paul, my whole living is just consumed in Christ. I'm better than I used to be, but I want to be better at it even yet. But I see here that he says that to live is Christ. I believe what he was saying is this. If I live a little bit more, another moment or another hour or another day, then I'm just going to be more like Christ. I'm going to get more of him. I'm going to be thinking more of him. But if I die, I just get it all in one installment. As if we've got something that we're just getting little by little by little. We want to be more like Christ tomorrow than we were yesterday. And if I don't see tomorrow in this earth, then I want to be with Christ. And then all of my growing will have just happened immediately. I see the evaluation. The Apostle Paul says, boy, I would sure like to see Jesus Christ die his gain. I remember when I was getting ready to get married and we were thinking, our church didn't have two aisles, just had one center aisle. And Amy was going to come down there and I was going to be ready and take her in my arms and trot off to our honeymoon with her. And so I remembered thinking about that day. That's going to be a great day. And I knew also what the Bible says in the book of Revelation, that John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. And I'd heard preachers thunder about that, that you ought to want the Lord Jesus to return. Even so, come on, Lord Jesus. And I have to tell you that for a while, I was putting a delay in that prayer. Even so, come Lord Jesus, but wait till after June 4th. 1993, because I was going to bring her down. And I said, Lord, anytime after that, it'd be great. And some of you don't look so spiritual. Some of you done the same thing. You know, you had there's some folks right here that either had a baby recently or going to have one. And you're thinking, boy, it's going to be great. Victoria Radford, or not Radford now, but saw that little one. I know that before yesterday, they were probably thinking, Lord, come. But we sure would like to see that face visibly instead of on that ultrasound. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Lord knows our frail minds. But let me just tell you and set your mind at ease, whether you're waiting on a marriage, and there's some of them in this room that are doing that, whether you're waiting on a marriage or whether you're waiting on a child or whether you're waiting on whatever, anything that you compare, heaven is going to be a lot better than that. And so we see this evaluation of location. He says, I would love to die and go see Jesus Christ because that's the gain in my life. And I'm asking you this morning, are you there? Or do we have so much living to do we don't want to go see Jesus yet? I don't want to go see him yet unless all of us go together. I'd like to live a healthy life. You know, I was reminded of this story. This teacher was asking his class of little boys, said, who wants to go to heaven? All of them raised their hand up except one in the back. He said, Steve, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, well, yeah, but I thought you was getting a load up right now. So I want to go. And the evaluation that Paul had back and forth, he says, if I go, I'll just get to see Christ and I'll have him I'll know more about him. But if I don't go, for me to live is also Christ. I'm getting to know him more and more. Not only that, but look in verse number 23. He promotes the superiority here of where he's going to go. I'm in a strait. We might say, I'm in a fix. Well, I'm in between a rock and a hard place here. I'm having trouble deciding. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. Not only does he see the evaluation of where he's at, but he also sees the superiority of heaven because it's far better. You know, I wonder sometimes why we hold on to this earth so much. One old preacher put it like this: we pray more prayers to keep granny out of heaven than we do to pray our neighbor into heaven as far as getting saved. But I think about the superiority of heaven, and I want to see if I'm there yet. In verse number 23, I've got this desire to depart to be with him, which is far better. Read of a tourist that went to Poland, and he was there, and in Poland he went to this clergyman and this clergy in his monastery of a place, but this training ground. And as he was in this seminary, he goes to see this clergyman, and this clergyman in his room only has a bunch of books and one chair. The tourist from over here asks him, he says, "Where's all your furniture?" And the clergyman, the pastor, asks him back, "Where's all your furniture?" And the tourist said, "What do you mean, where's all my furniture?" "Yeah, where's all your furniture?" He says, "I'm a tourist. I'm only over here for just a little while. I don't have a furniture. I don't have any furniture." And the clergy says, "I also am not here for very long, and I don't need much furniture." I'm wondering how comfortable we are getting in this world that we're currently living in. I don't think we're sinful when we help ourselves and we get comfortable, because my house, your house, would be extravagant to some parts of the world. Before we start looking at other people and say, "Well, if they have more than me, they're extravagant. If they have less than me, so pity for them." Your house is so much better than many places in this world. They would never dream of living in some place as nice as your house or my house. But I do need to see that we, this superiority of heaven. I want you to do this little exercise with me. What do we know about heaven? Well, we know there's street of gold, the Bible says, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. We know that there'll be no sin there. There'll be no death there. One of these days, Jesus will wipe away all tears. There'll be no dying there because there's no sin, which is what brought up what brought on suffering and death anyways. There'll be our loved ones that have gone on before. My mom will be there. My wife's mom will be there. We'll get to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know if God will let us put in our orders for that. I'm hoping we have fried chicken and mashed potatoes or whatever he puts out. We'll be fine. But we'll have a bright city. We'll have peace. We'll have joy. We'll have all of these things. Those are things that you and I can measure in our mind. We can imagine those. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, that verse was specifically talking about some of the things that you currently have, the ever-present presence of the Holy Spirit and all those. But it's also speaking of what we'll enjoy with the Lord one of these days when he takes us on to heaven. So the things that you and I just thought about, the no pain and the no tears and the no separation anymore, all of those things that are heaven are wonderful, and I rejoice to think about them. But in the saying of our modern vernacular, God could say, "You ain't seen nothing yet." Because your eyes couldn't handle what will be up there. Your ear couldn't stand the sound of what it's going to be like. Your little heart, bless your little heart, yours and I heart, it couldn't stand or begin to imagine what God has prepared for those that love us. And I believe that the Apostle Paul used of God to get closer and closer. That's why God used him to say in this verse, he says, "It would be far better." I'm wondering if I'm there. Am I that place where I could truly say, "Lord, I'd rather"? I say it intellectually, but could I say it from my heart? I told you I want to give you, though, I think, how we could see why so many of us are miserable. And I give you my last point, and it's in verse 24 and 5. "Nevertheless," we already know the desire of the apostle is, "I'd rather just go on to heaven." Verse 24, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance in the joy of faith." We've got such a beautiful, selfless attitude here. The apostle says, he's already established what he wants to do. I'd rather just go on, see Jesus. That'd be better, far better for me. But now he's got a task to be involved in. And the task that he's going to be involved in involves other people. He's not thinking of him. Because if he's thinking of him, he said, "God, take me on now." And he might have had so much pull with the Lord. The Lord said, "Okay, I'll do it." I don't know. But I want to give you 3 points of Paul's life that, and urge you to do the same as we look at what we can do in this current age, right now, where we live. This isn't 2,000 years ago. This isn't in the future. Sometimes God lets us live. This is right now. I want you to see, number one, he looked, or letter A, everyone put it, he looked on the needs of others. Verse 24, Nevertheless, regardless of all these things, apart from all those, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He looked on the needs of others. Because he would have easily found himself just saying, I just want to go be with Jesus. If I can't go be with Jesus, I'm just going to find myself in a cave up somewhere where I can take the scriptures I've already got and I can just rejoice with him until he comes up and gets me. But he looked on the needs of others. We're in a selfish world. What's in it for me? The world, the devil, and our flesh all combined together to get you to look, what's in it for me? What's in it for John? But the Apostle Paul looked on the needs of others. He said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. An old preacher told a young preacher, he says, if you preach to broken hearts, you'll never want for a congregation if you'll just see their needs and preach the Bible to them. Not only did he look on the needs of others, but I want you to look in verse number 25. He found a job. Amazing. After you look for something, what you'll find. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and the joy of your faith. He decided he could do something to help them. After he started looking for the needs of others, he found a job to do. What could he do? He could do something. God was going to allow him. He, of course, penned the scriptures here. God was going to allow him to do something to help them continue in the furtherance of their walk with the Lord. He says in that verse, I know I shall abide and continue with you. I'm going to stay for a while. God gave him some insight. Say, I'm not going right now, apparently. God's going to keep me here. And I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He found a job to do. I'm going to make you joyful. And you know what's wrong with our society, with every young person and us old people as well? We are so consumed with what's in it for me. What can I do to make myself happy? Astounding statistics, which I gave some time back, in the way, 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 way high percentage, 70, 80, 90% of freshmen going into college right now, they're looking for a job that gives them the most amount of money. Not what their gift to humanity can be, not what they can do to better mankind, but instead, what would garner me more money? And I'm saying this morning that we live in a very selfish world, that the Apostle Paul says, I'd rather go on, but I'm not going to go on right now. God's not ready for me. And besides, I see that it's more needful for you that I would stay. And so he looked on the needs of others. And when he saw the needs of others, he decided the job that he could do. Fred Rogers, who was most famous for his television show for children, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. When he was a youngster, his mom would instruct him every time they would come up on an accident or every time they'd come up on trouble, she would say, don't look at the accident. She would say, look for the helpers. Look for the policemen. Look for the firemen. Look for the paramedics. Look for the people who are helping in this situation. And he spent much of his adult life, he was a Presbyterian minister, he spent much of his adult life highlighting the helpers on his TV show as he brought them to the eyes of little young children. He found a job to do. But then I give you this last one before we leave this morning. Look at verse number 26 if you still have your Bible open. He said he found this job, and that job was going to be for the furtherance of your joy, of your faith. I'm going to write unto you. I'm going to do these things. He found that job. But then verse number 26, that your rejoicing, may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He not only looked on their needs and found a job, but he also trusted to better their life. He believed he could make their life better. And I don't mean just make it better, cushier, more soft, and all those things. He says that you'd be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Meaning that if I don't come, you won't be as good as you will be if I do come. If you're a parent in this room, you know what it's like to put somebody else's needs above yours. You know how I know you know? Because I've seen you at McDonald's. And you don't like to go to McDonald's. You'd rather go somewhere where you went to the table, somebody took your order and they went to get back the food and got the food, but instead you're standing there at the counter at McDonald's. You know why you're going to the counter at McDonald's? Because somebody says, I want a Happy Meal. I want that. And so you know what it's like to put their needs above your needs. Not only that, you paid for all the things coming up that they've needed and wanted and all of these things, but their life is better because of you. Well, the Apostle Paul says that if I would come again to you, then you would be more abundant in Jesus Christ than you would be had I not come again to you. He was sure that their Christian walk would be richer, fuller, and more vibrant by his actions. And I have to ask you this question before we get done today. Are you making anyone's life better? Am I looking for opportunities to say, Pastor, I don't know who I'm supposed to make their life better. I don't know either yet. But I know I had a head start on you because God worked in my heart early this week in preparation for this message. So I know I had a head start on you. So I've already started doing some of this. I was in the emergency room several times this week, not for me, but for other people. And I was trying to put this message into action because there was a lady there who was working at the counter, and they're not always friendly, but it's not usually, oftentimes it's not their fault. They've been mistreated and harsh on them. People have been harsh to them, but they're behind this plexiglass, which they only have a hole here and a little slot there where you got to bend down and talk at them. Otherwise, it's just like that. You can't hear. And so this lady's just doing a phenomenal job. She's just being kind and patient with people because everybody's having a hard time. That's why they're there. You know, that's why you go to the emergency room. You don't go, hey, you want to do something fun? Let's go to the ER. I mean, you're at a bad spot already. And sometimes, because people are having such bad times, they make your time even worse. But this lady was not. Well, she was patient. She was kind. She was just helping this helped me, a little lady in front of me, and then somebody else in front of, between them and me. And so I got back to see the person I wanted to and went back and prayed with him and came back. And the Lord just kind of smacked me on my way out. And I thought, I need to stop by and tell that lady. So I bent down and found that little hole. Hey, I want to tell you something. And she's like, what do you want? I said, I just want to thank you for being patient with people. Because I said, I know this is not a calm place to be. And then she thanked me, of course. Said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And she really was trying to be that way. I'm asking you, and myself, am I making anybody's life better? You know we're supposed to be the salt and light of this world, right? But sometimes we're people that folks have to explain away instead of using as an example. Getting to be the person that's this bright and shining example for Jesus Christ, or not example for him, but example because of him, and this person that can be a model for somebody. Instead, I'm somebody you have to explain away. Oh, you know, he's just busy. He didn't mean to brush you off. He didn't mean to be unkind. He's Irish. He's redheaded. He's English. Whatever excuse you want to make. I don't know. He's got a bad day. He's having a bad week. He's having a bad life. I don't know what's wrong with it. But we ought not to have to be explained away every time. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just not a friendly person. Well, come to the altar. Ask God to make you one. Some may have more difficulty than others, but all of us can help people. And the Apostle Paul says here, he says, I believe that my life could be used to make your life better. Now, of course, the main thing he did was he promoted the gospel and gave the word of God. Yes, but in other ways we can apply it to our lives that we ought to be making somebody's life better. And we see that Paul looked to the needs of others. He says, if I could get what I want, I'd just go on to heaven. I'd rather be there with the Lord, because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'd just rather get it in one shot. But he says, more needful for you if I stay here. And he said, while I'm here, I've picked up a couple jobs. And these jobs are going to make your joy more abundant. These jobs are going to make this job that I picked up is going to make your life easier as you seek the Lord. It's going to be abundant in Jesus Christ. There's an old saying. It says this: anyone wrapped up in themselves makes a very small package. And I'm afraid that us Christians have gotten so wrapped up in ourselves, and our package is so small, we're so consumed with self, we're miserable. Because as long as you keep looking inwardly to see what I want out of this life, what's best for me, and I don't look at the needs of somebody else, I'm going to be a miserable somebody. until I get my eyes off me and get them on somebody else. An old song says this, that Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayers would be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, help me live for others that I might live like Thee. Why am I here? Well, I know one reason. We're here to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes beyond that. We're supposed to live the gospel. But I believe that one reason why I spend so much time in misery and why we all do is because we forget that we're supposed to be a blessing to people as we go through this life. It's been said so many times, I almost don't say it again, but you are the only Bible that some people will ever read. They won't pick up a Bible and read it. They won't come into this church. The only impression they'll have of Jesus Christ is you. I'm wondering how I'm doing. Paul says, well, if I got what I want, I just go on. I'm tired. I've been trying and trying and trying to be more and more like Jesus Christ. I just rather go on and see Him and get it done with. I just am so looking forward to Him. But it's more needful for you if I stay. And while I'm here, I'm going to do my dead level best to get you more and abundant in your joy, show you the gospel more, be a blessing to you. And I'm just asking all of us to turn our eyes upon somebody else. Our life might not be so stinking bad if we look and see what some other people are going through in difficulties. I trust it will be a blessing to people this week. We've got a brand new week to start off with. We can do it today as we're out in different places. We can do it tomorrow. We can see what God has left us here for, to be a great example, a great testimony of His goodness. Our instrumentalists, would you all come and whoever's playing, Miss Kim, Miss Marianne. I'm just going to ask him to play, and as we think about it, and I want you to be thinking, God, what could I do? Lord, what would you have me do? Since you haven't taken me on to heaven yet, must mean He's got a job for each of us. Must mean that I have some people to encourage somewhere. Woe be unto us Christians to be the grumpy somebody that always highlights when a server gets it wrong. Don't let it be anybody, but let it be somebody who doesn't know Jesus. If somebody's going to be a grumpy old cuss, don't let it be you. And as we think about the apostle, he says, I'd just rather gone on. I think we could all say that, you know, truly. And I hope if you can't say that, you start getting so close to Jesus right now, you just say, wow, I might as well just take a straight shot. If God would let me do it, I'd just go on. Brother Larry Gallion, who sat here last week, Friday, Wednesday night, as a matter of fact, he's just gone on to heaven. And God was working my heart in this message long before he went on, but I thought, Lord, I don't know if I'm living that way. I want to do a lot of stuff. I want to see some things. I want to get some things accomplished. I have an old vehicle I'm messing with. I want some things I want to do at the house. And what's that matter? And then as I got into that scripture, then thinking about, wow, am I making a difference in people's lives? I can help people as I go to the restaurant. I can help people as I go to the department store. I can help people as I go here. I can help. They need us. I just ask you to do what the Lord lays upon your heart. And if you're a Christian in this room today, you've got a mission from God. I don't know what it is, but you've got a mission. You've got some people you're supposed to be a blessing to this week. I'm challenging you to find them, be on your best game, encourage them, comfort them, strengthen them, whatever it is. That's your job. My job. And if you're here this morning, you're not saved. I didn't preach on this, but the greatest message ever given at this church or anywhere is about the cross of Jesus Christ. We put it in the front to remind everybody that's what we're about. If you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, my friend, please do it today. Maybe you have some other spiritual need. may need to be baptized, want to join the church, I don't know, the altar's open for you. If you're able to, would you stand together as they play? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Brother Daniel is going to be here in front of the pulpit and love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved if you need that. But maybe you want to come commit to something. Well, Lord, there are some places I can be a help to someone. Well, let's do it. I'd rather just go on and go to heaven, but since I'm here, it's more needful for others that I'm here. And to bind the flesh is more needful for you. May you just need to come and pray. This altar is open for you. Do believe, as we just conclude here in just a moment, I really do believe that there are hurting people everywhere that we're going to come past this week, and they don't need me or you in some self-righteous, holier-than-thou attitude that indicates I can't even approach me. No wonder they don't want what we have. If you went in the average church this morning and saw the sour looks on a bunch of people, would you want that either? Sometimes we're the worst advertisement imaginable. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. May we live that way as well. Thank you for being in church this morning. And I trust that the Lord does in your heart and maybe lets it settle in on you. I've had many days of forewarning, I guess, about it. But folks, we are here for a reason. I don't know all the reasons, and we probably won't know all the reasons that we get to heaven. Maybe we were a blessing to somebody. We didn't even know that it mattered to them, but you did. And so I trust you'll take this challenge for this week. So we encourage you this evening. Brother Daniel will have a meeting with all those interested or they're planning to go on that missions trip in later this fall to Brazil. And he'll take care of those things. Ladies, my wife will be back at the back. I'll be back there with her. But if you have information or want information about that ladies meeting coming up September 20th, 21st, we're just trying to get a lot of people registered. I think they're signed up for a t-shirt. If you want one, to buy one of those. If you don't, that's fine too. But ladies, you're going to have a wonderful time on that. And please don't forget, these invite cards are back there. How many of you say, I'm going to be praying for August 18th? You may not even be able to be here. I know you may be in Honolulu. If you are, shame on you. Why don't you go the next week and take Amy and I with you? But you may not be here, but you can pray. We can pray for it. We're going to pray that God gives us a wonderful day. We're going to pray we just have a wonderful time. And once you get some of those invite cards back there, thank the Lord for opportunities coming up, the fair booth and different things coming up. And I want you to be involved in all of that. So thank you for being in church. Brother Daniel, once you come, dismiss us in prayer, and I'll slip back to the back. If you need us, Amy and I will be back in the lobby.
Heaven, we thank you so much for a wonderful morning, Lord, to be able to worship you together, to be able to hear your word preached, and Lord, to spend time together. We're so thankful. Our hearts are full. Lord, I pray we would go from here, that we would focus our attention on the work that you've given us to do, Lord, to just be a blessing, to reach out to others. And Lord, I pray you'd bless. We thank you so much for what you're doing. We pray for the Galleons, especially, Lord, just pray that you would meet the need in their hearts and give them comfort. Lord, bring us safely back together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.